Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome, my friends, to the realm of dog poet transmitting. I'm the Saucer Pod. The Saucer Pod is hovering this evening on the astral plane, where shimmers and glimmers of the Avatar are perceptible to the sight of those willing to see. It stands to reason that we are seeing a great amount of relative evil and corruption here on the manifest plane, because the Avatar has swept them out of their long-occupied nests in the invisible worlds, where they have conspired to create great mischief over centuries of time. They have been driven onto this plane for the purpose of judgment. To those of us resident on this plane, it can appear that we are dealing with a powerful degree of infestation. Madness is run riot on all sides, and the world is in turmoil. It can seem that we are up against it, both collectively and individually. This is the nature of appearances. Things look like what they are not. In fact, this is the last gasp for ancient evils that have plagued humanity for a very long time. This is not to say that there is not a great danger here, because these entities are desperate. They are also fully committed. Regardless of their sure and certain fate, they are determined to take as many of us with them as they can do when they go. That is how it works. That is the arrangement they have with their Lord and Master, who is not our Lord and Master, unless it is. To say that they are deceived is to be in possession of only a partial understanding of what they are like. They know what they know, and they don't know what they don't know, but in many cases they know very well what the costs and consequences are, and they don't care because it is worth it to them. Of course, as to the payoff they are expecting, and the idea that great evils committed here will lead to high stations in the infernal realms, well, that's not what they think it is. What do they say about the devil? They say he is the father of lies. Does this mean he tells the truth when it comes to his devoted understudies? That hardly seems viable, does it? It is common knowledge among those of us that have some small grasp of occult traditions that demons lie. They must be forced and compelled to tell the truth, and that is a risky business that takes intense focus and an iron will. Generally, anyone seeking out information and favors from the infernals is a fool. There are some of a high order who sometimes have reasons for this sort of thing, and I wouldn't presume to pass judgment upon their enterprises. Though it is cloaked from pedestrian minds, the Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus speaks of the abilities of one who has attained to the completion of the operation of the sun. There is a passage in it that speaks of the supernals and infernals. Here is the Emerald Tablet. True. Without falsehood, certain and most true, That which is above is as that which is below, and that which is below is as that which is above, for the performance of the miracles of the one thing. And as all things are from one, by the mediation of one, so all things have their birth from this one thing, by adaptation. The sun is its father, the moon its mother, and the wind carries it in its belly. Its nurse is the earth. This is the father of all perfection, or consummation of the whole world. Its power is integrating if it be turned into earth. Thou shalt separate the earth from the fire, the subtle from the gross, suavely and with great ingenuity. It ascends from earth to heaven and descends again to earth and receives the powers of the superiors and of the inferiors. Those are the supernal and the infernal realm. So thou hast the glory of the whole world. Therefore let all obscurity flee before thee. This is the strong force of all forces, overcoming every subtle and penetrating every solid thing. So the world was created. Hence were all wonderful adaptations, of which this is the manner. Therefore am I called Hermes Trismegistus, having the three parts of the philosophy of the whole world. What I have to tell is completed, concerning the operation of the sun. This is a supreme objective of the wise. It is also called the great work. It confers upon the one who achieves it powers and stations unguessed at. The truly wise are seldom inclined to exercise these powers. That is the province of the ineffable, who is the only one with the wisdom to gauge the necessity of their employment. It is true that there are illuminated beings who can understand the mind of the Almighty to a small degree, because the Almighty is resident in their being, but these are exceptional souls. The great Hindu yogi Babaji might be considered one of these. He shows up now and again, here and there. He appeared to Paramahansa Yogananda, and that meeting is recorded in the book Autobiography of a Yogi. He was seen at an agricultural site earlier in the last century, where he had manifested as a common laborer and worked for a short time in the fields with the others. He has not been seen often, preferring to stay in the celestial slipstreams with his longtime companion, his sister. These are times of great darkness due to the wide proliferation of material culture. As a result, many of the very wise have retreated to the hills. If they have done this, what does this tell us about how powerful the appearances of evil are at this time? It is true that there are people moving through the world today with considerable acumen and who occupy a high spiritual state. This is their karma to do so, and they are protected in the process of it. Those who do not have this karma are in places of sanctuary. And why is that? The reason is that there is only so much anyone can do. The wise are possessed of great prudence. It comes with the territory. Prudence is an important quality to possess. This does not mean that their influence is not present in our world and in our affairs. They work telepathically through those inclined to be of service. Never fear that your desire to be of use will be overlooked. There is more work to be done than there are hands to do it. Every willing soul is immediately put to work and remains so employed for all of their days. One of the great tragedies of this time and of existence, in general, is that there are so many wasted lives. Materialism has captured the hearts and minds of the greater portion of the world, and it is a type of hypnosis that is very difficult to break. Those of you who are able to see through appearances, to whatever degree you are capable, are aware of how transparent the machinations of the manipulators are. We are all surprised and dismayed by how easily the masses are deceived, and this is no new thing. It has been going on from generation to generation. You could almost say they were born that way. Before they arrived, they were told and clearly told what awaited them here. They were told about the possibilities for spiritual progress and the dangers as well. Perhaps the residual impression of what they were told remained with them for a short while as children, but the forces of materialism took over and they forgot it all. They were swept up in a tsunami of sensation. The mesmerizing force of the attractions of the flesh took control of their hearts and minds, and it is a great tragedy. No one but the Avatar knows what he has in mind for the whole of us. No one knows if a universal awakening will occur or if it will come only to the sincere and industrious. No one knows whether the world as we know it will cease, or if a new world will be born out of the chaos and confusion of our present state. No one knows whether Lady Nature will rise up in outrage and sweep the planet clean, or whether there will be some amount of undeserved mercy and forgiveness. A new start, perhaps. Or not. No one knows. Of one thing I am assured, those who seek the ineffable without respite will find the ineffable. It is a complex thing what makes a person deserving of the good offices of the ineffable. Will selfless service accomplish it? Will consistent devotion accomplish it? Will sacrifice accomplish it? Will acquiring and exercising the qualities of the divine accomplish it? Will speaking truly on behalf of the divine accomplish it? There are other things that will bring one to the attention of the divine, and some combination of all the strategies mentioned will serve too. Only the ineffable knows what the ineffable requires of us. It is startling to see how indifferent so many people are to the extreme conditions of the time. It is heartbreaking to watch them dance to the fatal music that is produced to enslave and dishonor them. They laugh as they go and cannot see where it is that it leads. I spend most of my time in this room. For years now, I have been in one room or another. Occasionally, I go out on some business and then I look around me. I watch people. I see them coming and going. I want to say something to them, but I know the result of that, so I speak with the silence of my heart and hope that some kind of divine osmosis will take place. There is a Buddhist term, unbearable compassion. That is when you see what we see and realize there is nothing you can do. Some things just must work out according to the particular karma that applies to them. This is why we have been told through the ages to know thyself. We have been directed to engage in self-inquiry. We have been advised to get our own affairs in order before we seek to meddle in circumstances and conditions that are beyond our understanding. We do not possess the details of why some things are the way they are. We do not know what occurred outside of our range of sight, and often at times when we weren't even here. Nothing happens by accident. There is a reason for everything. I cannot count the amount of times I have been told, when baffled by something I didn't understand, when I could not see the why of it, no matter how I turned it for better viewing, I cannot remember the times when I was told, it is for a very good reason. Why do I find myself in opposition to things that happen and over which it is clear to me that I exercise no control? It is because I wanted a different outcome. But what I want is not always a factor. For some while, it seems to me that it is almost never a factor. One of the things the man on the beach told me was, everything is under control. Take the reins. Did he mean that this is generally true for everyone or specifically for me? Although I have a degree of freedom that I do not see widely possessed or exercised around me, I don't actually have any freedom at all when it comes to my life, because I have come to realize that as far as I'm concerned, everything is under control and everything happens for a reason. And I don't have anything to say about it, and very seldom is it explained to me. I can either accept whatever comes and do my best in respect of it, something I do not always manage to achieve, or I can react and be frustrated, and that is the sum total of my options, so far as whatever options I have ever discovered. Lately, I have encountered the most bizarre happenings. It is as if there are, as if it's scripted to test me. I often hear that it is to see how I will react and what I will do. To say that this used to annoy me is to put it mildly, but slowly I am coming into line with the whole affair, and whatever it is just whatever it is. Some of us think we have life all figured out, and that is usually because things are going well for us. However, should they stop going well for us, we might no longer believe that we have it all figured out. I tend to think that people believe what works for them for as long as it works for them. And then when it all no longer works, they have to go looking for another method or medium of understanding. I submit to you that a time usually comes when a person is brought to extremity and where nothing works and there are no answers, and somehow an epiphany occurs and one learns that it all comes down to faith. No matter what, at some point, one is forced out of all the constructs of what they thought they knew. In some versions, it is called the dark night of the soul. In some versions, it is called something else. no small number become horribly resigned and fall into despair. They can't take it because they can't let go. They can't let go of their investment in what they thought they knew. Who is the most fortunate among them? The one who has convinced himself that he does not know, because none of us do, no matter what we think. We do not know. It is far better to be resigned to this understanding before one is reduced to extremity, and thereby avoid that crushing despair over the things we can't let go. If one truly does not know, well, then extremity, well, might never even come. It is something to think about. Okay, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, remember to seek the ineffable in all things and to practice the presence of the divine. Sooner or later, it will become a living verity. That said, Om Amitabha. Greetings, my dear friend, Lord Ganesh. Much love, Lady Nature. Allah Akbar. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Haru.
Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.